Well, it's a great honour to have Nicola Gibb with us this morning. Nicola is passionate about the unchurched and passionate about leading people into a relationship with Jesus and passionate about the Holy Spirit transforming lives. And basically, Nicola's just passionate. Nicola is a community pastor for C3 Oxford Falls, overseeing C3 Cares events and programs. Nicola also works in Fitness First 2 days a week, actually, and that's a fairly new job, and is hoping to become the chaplain of this gymnasium, which has 3,000 members. Lord, we pray that today. Let it happen in Jesus' name. We're in for a great few days, people. It doesn't finish here. It finishes at the end of Tuesday night. Can we welcome today Pastor Nicola Gibb? Let's give her a big warm welcome. Awesome.
Thank you so much. That's so good. Hang with me for a sec. You just keep going. That's good. Hey, it's such a privilege. The honour is all mine. Thank you so much, pastors, for inviting me. And thanks. Give the band an amazing salute off. They're so great. I sense Jesus so strongly here. You know, the religious called Jesus the friend of sinners. I pray I get accused of that. And I don't know if you noticed when we came into the auditorium, there was a film clip playing of Zach Williams. And if I get time, I might go back there at the end of my message because it was so powerful. So have that ready for me. Would be fantastic. But a friend of sinners. I just really sense God wants to turn some defeat into some victory here today. I just sense that when Jesus is hanging around, which he is, he's right here with us in our midst. He wants to bring victory into every area of your life. Not one stone unturned. I mean, he wants victory in your finances. He wants victory in your relationships. He wants victory for just even your daily habits. He wants victory for your kids. He wants victory for your family members. He wants victory for your friends. He is victory. And Jesus is here to set us free. You know, God can turn things on a coin, just like that, from dark to light. And so right now, I just want us to have a moment. I feel his presence so strong. If you would just trust him with that thing that's bothering you right now, all across here, just bow your head in prayer and close your eyes and just say, Jesus, help me. Bring victory. Holy Spirit's here. We thank you, Jesus, for victory right now. I thank you for miracles happening right now. I thank you for the turning, God, from darkness to light. I thank you, God, for eyes to be open to see how wonderful you are right now all across this room. I thank you, God, for financial breakthrough. I thank you, God, for healing, physical healing. I thank you, God, for spiritual healing in the name of Jesus. Your name is above all names. You are, Lord, the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you, God, because you are a true Lamb of God, the sacrifice for all of our sins, and we praise you for it. Just let his presence fall. Let it go. Let it go. Say, God, I can't do it, but you can. I'm weak, but you're strong. Thank you, Lord. Things turning now. I see things turning now. Things turning. I see things turning around now. Things turning around now. There's hope. There's hope. There's faith. There's hope. There's always hope. As long as you're breathing, there's hope. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, that's awesome. Give Jesus a round of applause like you never have before. He's so good. Wow. Thank you. Aren't they amazing? You're amazing, Jared. Doesn't he look like his mum and dad? My God. Both of them. Complete half and half, I reckon. So good. Jared, you're a bit of a personal trainer, I think. Yes? I've been told. You're doing some personal training. He's offered to personally train me on Monday. I'm really scared. I've said yes, but I'm not sure. Anyway, after seeing how fit and strong he is. But you may think that, you know, you're learning about muscles, you're learning about weightlifting, you're learning about fitness. But I saw on you, Jared, I saw that God, you know, whatever's happening in the physical, what you're learning is actually happening in the spiritual. And I see that God is training you up as a fitness leader spiritually. That you are going to take bands and teams of worship, praises and worshipers, and you're causing them to be fit. Fit for service and to not look back. But I see an anointing on you that's going to help people let go of the past and push forward into the future. I see such a light on you, such an authority on you, and I think that, you know, your muscle in the spirit world is being built. And, you know, it's going to shock you because you're going to say, I never used to be able to lift that much. I see you lifting others up, lifting a whole team up. And advancing forward. So whatever you're learning in the physical, know that God's doing the exact thing in the spiritual. In Jesus' name, give him a round of applause. He's amazing. So good. It's an absolute privilege to be here. I am passionate about Jesus. How incredible is Jesus Christ? You know, he laid down his life for us. He was the one that said, you know what, the human race, right, we went our own way. We're pretty stubborn, right? We're pretty disobedient lot. We like to do things our own way. And, you know, we always make mistakes. But God is so merciful and so gracious that Jesus saw the state of humanity. He knew that we would go disobedient. He knew that we would go our own way and try and work things out on our own. And Jesus saw the state of humanity and said, I'll go. I'll pay the price so that every single person can have an opportunity to have eternal life, complete righteousness before God. In fact, my righteousness will be in them. I will, even though they're disobedient, I'll put my righteousness in them, and so that when you look at them, Father, all you see is me. All you see is the righteousness of God. How good is Jesus, right? He's a friend of sinners. No sin shocks him. No mistake's too hard for him. You know, I've done a few, had a few, let me tell you. I'm passionate about mistakes. I was once, you know. A little bit about me. I'm a single parent of two teenage boys aged 14 and a half and nearly 16, and they're putting me through my paces. Yes, they are, especially son number one, right? And I just think, oh my gosh, he's doing everything that I did, and it's right back at me, you know. But I know God's got them. God has got them. And, you know, I've raised them in the church, raised them in kids' church. Kids' church is powerful. And I'm here, I'm a mother. They're not in the house of God right now, but I know they will be, you know, and I'm standing on all of that foundation that I put inside of them when they were kids. So I never give up on people, you know. God has got a plan for every single person. I'm passionate about coffee too, passionate coffee people here. You know, I've got my favourite place to go to for coffee back home. I'm from the Northern Beaches. And when I walk in and I see a particular barista making coffee, I get really excited because I know he's going to make a good one. I know that he makes his coffee with love. Love. When I go in and there's another lady on the barista machine, my heart sinks. No, there's no love in her coffee. She can't make coffee to save her life. But I don't know why she's got that job. Quite a stark contrast. Anyway, I went in the other day and she was on. Oh, my heart sank. I was in such a hurry I couldn't choose another coffee shop to go to, because I know that's in your mind. Why don't you just go somewhere else when you see her? But I had to just push through. So I got a coffee from her and I went... Oh, yeah. And, you know, I started to think about the difference between a coffee made with love and a coffee not made with love. And I was like, oh my gosh, God made us with love. He made us with love. Every little detail, every little talent, every little thing inside of us, he knew, he planned. He put the little love heart on the top with the squiddly bit. He made you with love. Do you know he is the potter and we are the clay? His hand formed you. Psalm 139 says that he formed us in our mother's womb before we even came to be. He knew the designs for us. He knew every day for us. He knows you. He knows every hair on your head. He's a crazy accountant, is God. Crazy, cray, cray. He counts the hairs on our head, but doesn't count our sins against us. What? The things that God counts, we don't count. He made us with love. He is love. We are made by love. We are made with love. We are made by love. We are made for love. When we love others, we feel love. It's amazing. It's incredible. But this is what Jesus, you know, Jesus had friends, sinners as friends. Jesus had lots of friends, right? The religious crowd weren't really his friends. He didn't really get along with them. But it wasn't him not getting along with them. It was them not getting along with it. They wanted to kill him. Not really friendly. But, you know, he had unlikely friends. And he'd had dinner with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes and all these people he used to hang around with. And Jesus just showed an unconditional love that penetrated society. There's no one like him. He is God. Jesus is God. Right? I know that messes with some of your heads. You're like, how can Jesus be God? God is three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came into this world to shine light right into the darkness. And my message today is let your light shine. I love this scripture in Matthew 5, verse 14. If you've got a Bible, this is a Bible, by the way, a Bible. Have you ever seen one of these? Amazing, right? No, but the Bibles have gone out of fashion in church. I love my Bible. Love my Bible. But if you've got a device, Charlie, just, you know, knock yourself out. So Matthew 5 verse 14 says this. You, who? This is Jesus talking about us. He's calling you. You are the light of the world. What? I'm not the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. But if you've got Jesus inside of you, you're the light of the world. You know those glow sticks and you snap them and then they get light, they get luminous? That's you. You're a glow stick for Jesus, right? When we want to do God's will instead of our own will, we break. There's a little break on the inside of us. It's like, oh, I'll break for you, Jesus. I'll be obedient to you. And then when that happens, the light shines so bright. And this is what Jesus did when he went to the cross. He broke his body for us. And he became this incredible, luminous light for the whole world. But that light is now in us. The light is on the inside of us. Jesus is on the inside of you. And if you're here today and you say, Jesus is not on the inside of me, don't worry, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this service to make sure Jesus is on the inside of you. It's so simple, so simple. All you have to do is believe. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be good. Thank goodness for that, right? You don't have to be good. You don't have to be perfect. You can say, well, I'm a sinner. But the good news is you can come and Jesus will forgive all your sins, completely wipe your slate clean, give you a brand new fresh start, put his righteousness inside of you and call you the light of the world and then send you out to be friends with sinners. Amen? It's awesome. But, you know, get back to my story. I get too passionate about the gospel. The gospel, inside the gospel just means good news. The good news of why Jesus came and died for us. Inside the gospel is perfect love. It's the expression, the demonstration of love. It's not just words. It's Jesus actually laying down his life for us. Incredible. Let your light shine. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Let your light shine. That means if Jesus is saying, let your light shine, that means sometimes we don't let it shine. We have a choice to let it shine or to not let it shine. You know, and just recently, a bit about my background. I know it's hard for you to believe, but I met Jesus Christ when I was 29 years old and I was completely addicted to drugs. It's such a shock because I look like an angel, I know. I'll just let you have some time to digest that. It's transformation is standing right before you. Transformation is the business that Jesus is in, right? The other thing I need to tell you is that I had a broken body. When I was just 8 years old, I started high diving and off springboards and platforms. And at just age 11, I got to represent Australia in the World Diving Championships in Texas, Houston, and Canada. And it was such a privilege to carry the flag for Australia. And I was out the front. I got to carry the flag because I was the shortest, not the best. And 1977 it was. You can do the maths and figure out how old I am now. I'm just waiting. You're supposed to go, no way, right? You missed it. I'll give you another opportunity later. Anyway, in 1977, out there, 11 years old, representing Australia, awesome privilege. Just everything was going well. I had this dream in my heart to go to the Olympics. That's all I could dream of, think of, imagine. I just knew I was born to be a diver. I knew it intrinsically. I would just live, breathe it. All I could think of was diving. I'd go to sleep diving in my head. And it's a lot like faith. You have to see it before it happens, diving. And little did I know, God was training me in faith, even though I didn't even know him. And you see the dive, you see, in your head, and then your body follows because you're somersaulting and twisting. You're doing it blind. And but on my 14th birthday, I took a dive off the 10-metre platform that would change my life. And it was a national championships in Tasmania. Darn the Tasmanians. But, and I took a dive and I knew I was in trouble before I even dived off the platform, because the difference that day was that instead of taking off with faith and joy in my heart like usual, I took off with disappointment in my heart. And the reason I had such disappointment that day was that my dad just didn't show up for that competition. And it really devastated me as a young 14-year-old girl. It was my birthday as well, 7th of February. It was my birthday. My dad had not showed up to this competition. And so this perceived disappointment just crippled me. And I took off on the dive, lost my vision. I didn't see the dive before I went. I just did it. And then instead of bringing the dive straight through the water like a pencil, I overextended my spine on entry and ripped all my neck, spine and hips out. I was unconscious in the water and all the judges had to dive in and reef me out of the pool. When I came out of the pool, I had this vision of me in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. That's all I could see. And the good news is I wasn't in a wheelchair, but I'm telling you, my spine was so twisted. My right hip was twisted around and my neck was in just... I was actually numb at the time, but then moving on, I had this chronic pain that I had to live with for the next 15 years. It wasn't really the physical pain that was really breaking my heart. It was the loss of a dream. It was the grief that I would never be able to accomplish the dream that I had in my heart. And, you know, that was my idea of what I was born to do. But, you know, God already knew what I was going to do one day. You know, he built me for a platform, just a different one. He built me for a platform that would sing his praises, that would call out the name of Jesus wherever I go and bring glory to him by being a transformation to show people that physical healing is possible. What happened was when I met Jesus Christ when I was 29 years old, this girl, she saw my pain and she dragged me to a church just like this. It was C3 Church in New York City. And she sat me in the front row, and it was the first day I'd heard the good news, first time I'd ever even heard the name of Jesus in that context. I mean, I'd heard his name in a lot of different contexts. Not that one. And the preacher said that day that if you needed a clean slate, a brand new fresh start, then just raise your hand and we're going to include you in a prayer of faith. All you've got to do is believe. I thought, that's too good to be true. What do you mean all I have to do is believe? Don't I have to do something to earn this thing? No. All you have to do is believe. I was like, well, I was struggling. I struggled. I raised my hand that day. It was the best thing I ever did because in that moment, God turned my life from darkness to light. He turned my sin from being, you know, completely trapped in drugs to being completely free of drugs. I mean, in that moment, I was set free from every addiction in my life. And it was powerful. And then I found out that Jesus is a healer. And ran to the pastors. I picked up this little book on healing and it said, if you pray in the name of Jesus, you'll be healed. Well, I was just full of childlike faith. Ran to the pastors, said, you're going to pray for me. This is going to be awesome. I'm sitting in the chair because there was a picture of a woman with the same condition as me. She had a twisted hip. Her right leg was shorter than her left leg. It was like I was looking at myself. I was like, see this? This? See it? It's in the book. You're going to pray for me. And I said to the pastors, now, the important thing is, pastors, don't forget to say the name of Jesus. Because if you do, I won't be healed. If you say the name of Jesus, I'll be healed. They're like, thanks for the tip, Nick. So anyway, they were very obedient pastors. They prayed in the name of Jesus from the top of Nicola's head to the bottom of her feet, heal her from top to bottom. And for the next 2.5 hours, waves of healing went over my body. Like, I was just so, like, heat was right through my body, and I could actually literally feel Jesus standing behind me being my chiropractor. And we went through such precise moves, and I could feel my neck being healed, and I could feel my hip going into a new position, and I could feel every vertebrae in my spine being straightened. And you know, God makes the crooked things straight, and he reconstructed my spine. Transformation. Here I am, healed, set free by the name of Jesus. Amen. I just want to give him glory. I've been pain-free ever since. And in fact, I lift weights now. Better watch out, Jared. And, you know, I lift weights. I love training and I work at the gym, Fitness First. It's great. In fact, I want to be the chaplain of the whole of Fitness First and go to different locations for our people in grief. It's amazing how many conversations. I'll just go to the bathroom while I'm working and there's a woman stuck in grief crying in the ladies' change rooms. I sit down, I say, what's up? She just goes, blah. And I go, that's me. I'm the chaplain. Right? I don't get paid to be a chaplain. I get paid to be a receptionist. It's bad pay, but awesome job. It doesn't matter about the pay because I come out so rich. I come out so full of joy. It's incredible. And, you know, like I went through this season where I'd go to the gym every morning at 5:30 in the morning. Clearly those days have passed. And I used to get there really early and there was this pie shop there. And it was still dark at 5:30, you know, and I'd get it. And I'd have to walk past this pie shop every morning and I'd just smell this cigarette smoke and I'd, oh, that's terrible. There would be a woman on a chair outside this pie shop every morning, and she was fierce looking, scary looking. She had tattoos all over her, short hair, piercings everywhere, and every time I'd walk past, she'd just grunt at me like, I'd be like, wow, she's scary. And you know, I felt the Holy Spirit on the inside of me say, yeah, she looks like that for a reason. And I was like, oh no. do not send me on mission to that woman. Anyone, Lord, not, no. Anyway, I just felt this tug. I'm like, oh my goodness. I don't even know where to start, God. I don't even know what. Can't even get through her. She didn't have one wall. She had 10 walls. Anyway, I thought, I just knew though that God was wanting me to be a light. And so I'd walk past the next morning. What's my plan? All right, I'll just start with a smile. Good plan. So I walked past and I just gave her a little smile. And she was like, that didn't work, Lord. The next day, walked past, got a bit bolder. Gave her a smile. She grunted at me again. Took about a week just smiling. I wasn't even in full-blown smile. I was just taking a crack. And then in another week, I was like, boulders. And she went like that back to me. I was like, that's a breakthrough. That's a breakthrough. Anyway, I just kept up, just eye contact, smile, wave. Anyway, this one day, I got out of the car. She was watching for me, I could tell. She's waiting, and I walked past, and she goes, and I went, wow, she initiated that. And then I went back. And for another week, we were like, that. This was a slow process. Eventually, one morning, she got off the stool, ran to me. She goes, what's your name? She's pretty scary, eh? She came right into my face. What's your name? And I went, oh, my name's Nick. What's your name? She goes, my name's Kim. I go, oh, nice to meet you, Kim. She goes, what, why do you smile at me every morning? It's very suspicious. I said, oh, I just let you know God loves you. How do you know that? But I speak to him. Really? Weirdo. Anyway, she goes, do you want to have a coffee? I was like, yeah, sure. And, you know, inside of me, I wanted to get upstairs and do my gym workout, get out, do it quickly. But she was offering me a coffee that morning. And so I sat down with her and I had a coffee. But, you know, there was the break. It was like, oh, that's the break in my will, because God wanted me on mission. And so I was like, all right, God. So I sat down and I only have time for a workout or a coffee, not both, right? So I sacrifice the workout for the coffee, have a coffee. Then she just tells me everything. She's going through a divorce. She's going to lose the business. She's highly stressed. She's, you know, going to lose the pie shop. She doesn't know what to do. She's worried, full of anxiety, fear, all this stuff. And then I get to share a little bit about my testimony. I'm a survivor of domestic violence. I'm divorced. You know, I had a terrible marriage. And I start telling her about how God helped me get free of my marriage and, you know, but that I had disobeyed God to even marry that person in the first place. I wasn't even listening to his wisdom and went my own way, but God was still merciful to me and still rescued me from a situation I put myself in, you know. And God was so, you know, I know he's amazing, so loving, so such unconditional love that whenever we turn to him, he rescues us. And I was telling her all about this and she was like, well, you know, you got your thing and I got my thing. You know, she used to own a crystal shop. She was full on New Age and she was telling me about the sun and the moon and all sorts of stars and things and language I didn't even understand. And I just let her have her thing, you know, but she liked me. And she liked the light inside of me. She said, you know, you got such a light about you. I was like, yeah, that's Jesus. Anyway, we traveled along. I could tell you story after story about what I decided to do with Kim was to have coffee with her every week. And so we just set, because I'd go to her shop, we'd have coffee. Every single week I'd turn up. Sometimes it was longer, sometimes it was shorter, but I just turned up. every week and in Kimmy's shop. And one day I remember she had this manager guy too, and he was just perplexed about why me and Kimmy were friends. He could not figure it out because she looked like dark and I looked like light, and we would just have so much fun. You know, she did educate me on Tinder. You know, when we have coffee, I was like, too much, Kim. She would love to freak me out, you know. And anyway, we just became friends. And one day I remember Kimmy and the manager were standing behind the counter, and I just walked in and I said, oh, I don't have much time for a coffee, but I just thought I'd come in and say g'day. And the manager's looking at me, he's like, I've got to ask you, why are you friends with Kimmy? He said, I just can't figure it out. He goes, you do know she's a witch. And I go, yeah, I do. Yeah. And he goes, and I'm a Catholic. I'm a Catholic. She's a witch. And you're a Christian. What is a Christian? I go, well, it's funny you ask. Well, a Christian is someone who's been forgiven of all their sins and stuff and all their mistakes because they have faith that Jesus Christ took it away for them, that he did that. And that's pretty much the difference between me and Kimmy here. He goes, that's amazing. Anyway, he goes to her, elbows her, and goes, you need that. And Kimmy starts crying. And Catholic doesn't need it, by the way. You need that. And Kimmy starts crying because the gospel, I just said the gospel as quick and short and powerful as I could, like God, Jesus is there for forgiveness. And then this presence comes into the shop, like Jesus is there with us. And Kimmy's crying. And then this customer walks in for a pie and we're all uncomfortable. And we're like, whoa, what do we do? And then Kimmy's like that, but it was a massive dent. And we just kept traveling, friends, you know, unlikely friend, right? And then after about a year of coffees, I was having a coffee with Kimmy and she completely broke down about her financial situation. And she said, you know, when I first met you, you told me that God speaks to you. Is he speaking now? I said, he is. What's he saying? She's a bit worried. What's he saying? I said, he said he loves you. Same message a year ago that he told me about you. He loves you and he wants to help you. And if you would just let him in, Kimmy, he would come and help you. Will you do that? And when you ask somebody, do they want Jesus? You use the nod. Would you like that, Kimmy? She said, I would. And right there in the shop, I led Kimmy to Jesus. And she was bawling and it was such an amazing, but you know, it took a whole year of being a friend with an unlikely friend. And Jesus shows us the power of that in John 4 when he meets the woman at the well. And he met this woman and she was dry and thirsty and, you know, she didn't know, she needed an answer for her life, and she came out to the well and there was Jesus willing to have a one-on-one conversation. One, number one, with a Samaritan that the Jews didn't even associate with. Number two, she was a woman and a man would never be caught in the middle of the day having a conversation. And there was Jesus busting out of all our religious ideas, having a conversation with an unlikely friend, a woman at a well, and then Jesus was there offering her eternal life. He said, if you only knew the gift of God, you would ask, and I would come in and give you eternal life, living water, water that would never run dry. This is what's on offer, people. Jesus wants to give people eternal life and living water that you can draw from every day of your life. You can go face to face with God himself because of Jesus. Because Jesus paid the price, we have free access to the Father, free access to go to the God of heaven, the one who made you with love, made you by love for love, the one who is love, who came to live inside of us and to have us go out like lights in the world to show people love. That God is right here. He is right here with us, and you can have access to him every single day if you have faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. When you believe in Jesus, you have free access to the Father. It's incredible. You know, I love that story of the woman at the well because of her reaction to the encounter that she had with Jesus. She said, it says in the scripture, her eyes were open to see him. She said, you truly, you know, we're waiting for this savior of the world. And her eyes were open to see that Jesus was that person. He was that God who was coming to be the savior of the world. And when her eyes were open to see, she would have felt such incredible unconditional love. She would have felt that every sin she'd ever committed was washed away in that living water. She would have felt his amazing grace. She would have felt the mercy of God right there in that situation. And her one reaction was to run into the town and say, come, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. You see, he'd had a word of knowledge about her, about how many husbands she'd had. He said, you've had five husbands, and the husband you, the man you're with now is not your husband. Well, that blew her away. She was like, how did you know that? How did you, must be a prophet. And he knew that she'd had six men in her life, maybe that had left her with great disappointment. But what she really needed was to meet man number seven, the man from heaven. She needed Jesus Christ because that is true fulfillment. And you know, in John 4, it says that she ran into the town and said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. And the whole town came out. And the whole town turned to Jesus. I'm telling you, God's got people in this room that he's going to put in situations where you are the only light. He's going to put you in a crowded place. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe it's your family. And it's dark. But you are the light. You've got to know that the light is inside of you, and Jesus wants to use you as a powerful illumination so that others can have the light switched on the inside. Such an incredible privilege. Proverbs 11:25 says, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. You know, as we give people a drink of water, we give out this living water, people will be refreshed. I'll tell you the truth, Jesus says in John 3:3, I'll tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. There's a transformation, a light switched on the inside. This is not a religious decision. This is not a decision to join a church. This is a decision to be born again on the inside so that you can see God, that you can see Jesus, that you can have a relationship with the one that loves you, the one that made you, that knows every hair on your head and every vertebrae in your spine, a God that loves you so unconditionally. I want to ask you this morning, where are you at in that relationship? And you know, I know there's people here today that you can just make a decision like I did all those years ago to say yes to God, and he will come streaming into your life and he will open your eyes from the inside out and you will begin to see things different. If you're struggling with addiction or maybe you're in pain, God can turn that thing around in just a second. And so right across this room, I want to pray for anyone here that doesn't yet know Jesus. You haven't made that step over, you know, to say, I'm going to let God in. So right across this room, can we just have a moment of prayer? If you wouldn't mind just closing your eyes to give the person next to you some privacy. And I'm asking you, this is you. This is between you and God. You and your maker. A chance to do peace with God, to have peace with God. And it's unconditional. God says, you know what? This is a free gift. A free gift of eternal life is on offer for you. And all you need to do is say, yep, you know what? I want that. And so in a minute, I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. And it's so simple. All I'm going to pray is that Jesus comes into your life. It's not going to hurt. In fact, he's going to fill you with joy and peace and love, unconditional love. And so I want to ask though, there's three lots of people I want to include in this prayer. The first lot of people is you've never done that. You've never said, okay, Jesus, I'm letting you in. I'm going to allow you to come into my life to be that light on the inside of me. I'm going to receive that free gift of eternal life that you paid for on the cross. If that's you in a minute, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. You're either one of those people, or maybe you prayed that prayer before, but you're not living in a right relationship with God. Something's come to block that relationship, and you haven't been walking with God for a while, but you're here today and you're like, you know what? I'm coming back. I'm going to make a comeback. God's going to come into my life and turn things around. Maybe that's you. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand too in a minute. Or maybe you're just not sure of your salvation. I'm telling you, when you know that you're saved, you know that you're saved. You know that you know in your knower. So know in your knower today that you are saved and you have this free gift of eternal life. If you have any questions or cautions about that, I want you to raise your hand and get sure today. So right across this room, if that's you, you've never received Jesus, you're coming back to God, or you need to recommit your life, just raise your hand right now and we're going to pray a prayer of faith. Thank you. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand up high so I can see. And we're going to thank you. Just raise it up, raise it up. It's just a simple thing. Nobody's watching you. It's between you and God. Who is there? Who is there today? Just raise it up nice and high. Is that you? Just wave at me and say, that's me. God's waiting for you. I know there's a struggle. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. I know it's a struggle. You don't have to be scared, embarrassed. God loves you so much. Just raise it up now. Just say, that's me. Is that you? Just raise it up. One more second. Thank you, God. Awesome. Who else is there? I'm just going to close in prayer. Is that you, little guy? So cool. So good. That's awesome. Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is here. God's great mercy. All right, we're just going to pray this prayer all together. If you just follow me in this prayer, but those people who raise their hand, make this your prayer to God. Say, dear Jesus, I let you in. Come into my life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for washing away my sin. Thank you for new life. Forgive me for all my mistakes and wash me clean today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's so cool. It's a little boy and two people. Maybe you should have raised your hand, but you're just too embarrassed. Just come see me after, or come see the pastors and just say, you know what, I should have raised my hand, but I didn't want to. We can do like a little one-on-one. It's no worries. But you know what? Also, if you're here today, we're going to dismiss the service right now. If you're here today and you're like, I need to break an addiction. I need to get out of pain. We're just going to hang here, the prayer team and myself, and we're going to pray for you and set you free today in the name of Jesus. Amen.